हरे कृष्णा। वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम चैतन्य चरितामृत आदि लीला चैप्टर 16 वर्सेस 24 and 25। वर्स नंबर 24 डजंट हैव अ पर्पोर्ट। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation to text 24. After coming back from East Bengal, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again began educating others. By the strength of his education, he conquered everyone, and thus he was greatly proud. Translation to text 25. Then Lord Chaitanya married Vishnupriya, the goddess of fortune, and thereafter he conquered a champion of learning called Keshava Kashmiri. Purport. As in the modern day there are many champions in sports, so in bygone days there were many learned scholars in India who were champions in learning. One such person was Keshava Kashmiri, who came from the state of Kashmir. He travelled all over India and at last came to Navadvip to challenge the learned scholars there. Unfortunately, he could not conquer the learned scholars in Navadvip, for he was defeated by the boy scholar Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Later he understood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus he surrendered unto him and later became a pure Vaishnava in the Sampradaya of Nimbarka. He wrote Kaustubha Prabha, a commentary on the Vedanta commentary of the Nimbarka Sampradaya, which is known as Parijata Bhashya. The Bhakti Ratnakara mentions Keshava Kashmiri and lists his predecessors in the disciplic succession of the Nimbarka Sampradaya. And then Srila Prabhupada's given the list. Srinivasa Acharya, Vishwa Acharya, Purushottama, Vilasa, Swarupa, Madhava, Balabhadra, Padma, Shyama, Gopala, Kripa, Dev Acharya, Sundara Bhatta, Padmanabha, Upendra, Ramachandra, Vamana, Krishna, Padmakara, Shravana, Bhuri, Madhava, Shyama, Gopala, Balabhadra, Gopinatha, Keshava, Gokula and Keshava Kashmiri. It is stated in the Bhakti Ratnakara that Keshava Kashmiri was a favorite devotee of Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning. By her grace, he was an extremely influential scholar and he was the greatest champion among all the scholars in the four corners of the country. Therefore, he got the title Digvijayi, which means one who has conquered everyone in all directions. He belonged to a very respectable Brahmana family of Kashmir. Later, by the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave up the profession of winning championships and became a great devotee. He joined the Nimbarka Sampradaya, one of the Vaishnava communities of the Vedic culture. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमः विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम द आदि लीला विच डिपिक्स द चाइल्डहुड पास टाइम्स ऑफ महाप्रभु। Chapter 16, and this verse starts with the marriage of Mahaprabhu टू विष्णु प्रिया ठाकुरानी तबे विष्णु प्रिया ठाकुरानी र प्रणिनाया एंड देन महाप्रभु गॉट मैरिड टू विष्णु प्रिया ठाकुरानी दिस वॉज अ सेकेंड वेडिंग लक्ष्मी प्रिया हैड ऑलरेडी passed away. So Mahaprabhu, second wedding. Now we don't find, we do find some description, but not extremely detailed descriptions about Vishnupriya's wedding with Mahaprabhu, but that is found in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And the next line is, Tabeta Korilo Prabhu Digvijayi Jaya. And at that age, Mahaprabhu also conquered the Digvijayi Pandit. And if we look at Srila Prabhupada's purport, he focuses entirely on the episode of conquering of Keshava Kashmiri. So that is what we will also focus on. So we all know the episode of the challenging of Keshava Kashmiri. Everyone here is aware of the pastime? Anyone who is not aware of the pastime of Mahaprabhu? Okay. So Keshava Kashmiri was a great scholar. And he belonged to Kashmir. As Srila Prabhupada says, he was born in a very respectable Brahmana family of Kashmir, Prabhupada says. And he was especially favored by Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning. So much so that Mother Saraswati danced on his tongue. He had all the scriptures, the four Vedas, the 18 Puranas, the 108 Upanishads, on the tip of his tongue. He was a master of grammar, Vyakrana, rhetorics, Alankara, and logic, Nyaya. So virtually it was impossible for anyone to conquer a personality like him. In fact, it was said that wherever he would go on a palanquin followed by 30,000 disciples, and many of them riding on horses and elephants. So it was like a huge procession. He was, as far as the championships of learning is concerned, he was the king. And he established that in no less way by then, you know, just going out there and whoever he would see, he would just challenge them to debate. So, such unparalleled scholarship. He started from Kashmir, he went all around India, and at the end, he was informed that Navadvip is the seat of learning, the highest seat of learning in India, and the scholars of Navadvip can defeat you very easily. So he took upon himself very personally, scholars of Navadvip, I need to go and challenge them. So he went to Navadvip. But before he came, the news arrived that Keshav Kashmiri is coming to Navadvip. So all the Bhattacharyas of Navadvip, all the Brahmanas, they had a conference. And in the conference, they said, you know, we know one Veda, two Vedas. You know, like there are different, even in India today, people have different last names. They are Chaturvedi, Trivedi, Dvivedi. Chaturvedi means he has learned four Vedas, Dvivedi means two Vedas, Trivedi means three Vedas. Of course, nowadays it's only a title. They don't know much. Most of them at least don't. But all these Bhattacharyas, they were afraid. So in the conference they said, well, if we devise a plan, then we might be saved. This Nimai Pandit thinks himself to be a great scholar in our town. Although he's a 15-year-old boy, Nimai, there is some validity in people's statement that he is a scholar. So let us do this. Let us have arrange things in such a way that Keshav Kashmiri ends up debating with Nimai Pandit. And if Keshav Kashmiri defeats Nimai Pandit, then we can say, oh, but Nimai Pandit is only a boy, you know. Keshav Kashmiri has defeated a boy. But if Nimai Pandit defeats Keshav Kashmiri, the town of Navadvip will be, it'll be a pride of Navadvip, because then we can say, even a boy of Navadvip can defeat Keshav Kashmiri. What to speak of us? So they planned in the conference. So they all ran away and went to different Tirthasthan. So nobody was available for Keshav Kashmiri to debate. Only Nimai Pandit is available. So Keshav Kashmiri, he comes and he is looking for everyone. Nobody is to be found. The news reaches Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu is teaching his students. Mahaprabhu was teaching three subjects. He had his own tola, which means his own school. Actually, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says he had his Chatushpati, where he taught the four Vedas as well. In his Amrit Prabha Bhashya, he says, Amrit Prabha Bhashya of Chaitanya Bhagavat, he says. So, Mahaprabhu is teaching his students, and he is on the banks of the Ganges in the evening. And one of the students comes and says, teacher, we've heard that this great scholar, Keshav Kashmiri, he has come to Navadvip and he wants to debate with someone. But he can't find anyone. He can't find a suitable match. So that time, Mahaprabhu says, and this is quoted in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's a very nice subhashita, a nice saying in Sanskrit. And the verse goes something like this. Namanti palino vrikshah, namanti gunino janah, shukshakashthascha murkhascha, na namanti kadachana. Mahaprabhu tells his students, namanti palino vrikshah. Trees which are fruit bearing, you know, they are laden with fruit, they are heavy, they will bend. But those trees which have become dry, they will not bend. Similarly, a person who is really knowledgeable, learned, will be humble like a fruit-bearing tree. But a person who has just superficial understanding, who is only doing word jugglery, who has no realization, will not bend. He will stand straight like a dry tree. Mahaprabhu quotes this verse to his students and then he says, let Keshav Kashmiri come and speak to me. So we see that the process was this, that the scholar would carry with him a palm leaf where he would have written a template. The template would say that I, blank, have been defeated by Keshav Kashmiri and find myself completely unable to challenge him in any respect. And then his signature. So this template he had, it is said he had heaps of them filled by his previous tour. And now he took one of this and he was carrying with him. Whoever debates, he would say, you have a choice. Without losing your face, just silently go home and sign and give it to me. Or debate publicly. This was his method. So this is called as Jayapatra. Jayapatra means the certificate of conquest that he has conquered. So he was carrying this Jayapatra. Actually, we see in Vrindavan, you see, devotees, even if they have true scholarship, they don't want anyone to know. Because it is not the method of devotion. In fact, they are happy that they are not known. We see that in the case of the Goswamis. There was a personality called Rupa Chandra, who was a great scholar, Digvijay Pandit. He went to Mathura and defeated everyone in Mathura. And then he was informed, well, but you will be no match for the six Goswamis, especially Rupa and Sanatana. Why don't you go and debate with them? So Rupa Chandra went to Vrindavan. They found Rupa and Sanatana, and with a lot of pomp, he came, he approached them and said, Rupa and Sanatana, I wish to debate with you, but there will be a condition. I'll take two against one. He was so proud. He said, I'll take you both brothers against me together. Now, we read in Shat Goswami Ashtakam, what was the caliber of these Goswamis? Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipunau. Nana Shastra, so many scriptures, Vicharanaika Nipunau. They were experts in all scriptures. In fact, they were experts in Persian, in Arabic, in Sanskrit, in so many languages, in Bengali. So they were truly scholars. But what did they do? Instead of responding to Rupa Chandra, they said, my dear Rupa Chandra, do you not have a Jayapatra that we could sign? They said, give us your Jayapatra certificate. Give us your certificate and we'll simply sign it. And that's what they did. Rupa and Sanatana did not debate with Rupa Chandra. They just signed the certificate and gave it back. And Rupa Chandra went around everywhere in Vrindavan saying, look, Rupa and Sanatana have been defeated by me. When Jiva Goswami was not there at that time, when he came back, he saw that. He could not believe his eyes. And he challenged him. He said, Rupa and Sanatana are extremely humble. You defeat. The reason they did not debate with you is because you had not defeated their servant yet. You approached the master after approaching the servant. Jiva Goswami said, you debate with me first. And he defeated Rupa Chandra. 7 days debate lasted. And he defeated. And at the end, Rupa Chandra took shelter of Jiva Goswami, who then took him to Rupa and Sanatana. But we see that the mood is, they don't want to be known. In fact, Pradyumna Prabhu, the Sanskrit editor of a lot of Srila Prabhupada's early books, he was discussing with Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada told him, while they were sitting in a room, he was reading the commentaries of the Acharyas, Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada told Pradyumna Prabhu, you see, the Goswamis, they never wanted to be published. The Goswamis never wanted to be published. But it is our duty to promote them. But they never wished to be published. And then Srila Prabhupada said, how? If you read any Goswami literature, you know, Srila Prabhupada gave a very high status to the Shat Sandarbhas, which actually formally establishes the Gaudiya Vedanta, Gaudiya philosophy. Shat Sandarbha, if we read Shat Sandarbha starting from Tattva Sandarbha, we see that Jiva Goswami in the beginning, he writes, two of my gurus, Rupa and Sanatana, they have asked me to compile this work for their pleasure. And one of their friends, Gopala Bhatta, he had already done some work, but things were not laid out correctly, you know, so I'm just rearranging them in the right order. And I'm just doing this for their pleasure. So if you read all of Goswami literatures, they'll say, Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasam Sindhu, I'm doing this for my friend Sanatana. So they were writing something just for the pleasure of their friends. It was never meant to be big deal. So much so, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary of the Bhagavad Gita, Sarartha Darshini, at the end, the last four verses, there is no commentary. There is instead only a couple of lines where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur essentially says that the commentary of these last final few verses has been stolen away by the vehicle of Lord Ganesha. Who is that? Who does Lord Ganesha sit on? Mushaka, mouse. A mouse, mice has stolen away the manuscript of these last few verses. And he said, it must be the Lord's desire. And anyways, who is going to read this? This is not meant for anyone. I just wrote this for the pleasure of the Lord. So, I shall not rewrite it again. Can you imagine? We are relishing every word of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. But he is writing it for whom? For the pleasure of the Lord. He doesn't even rewrite those. Instead of the commentary, he just says, mice is taken away. Similarly, even Shankaracharya, there is missing commentary in Vedanta Sutra, Shankara Bhashya, and he says, Ajabhakshaha. Some of this commentary, Ajabhakshaha. The goat came and ate some palm leaves. So no need to rewrite. Because the mood, so Srila Prabhupada said, this is the mood of a devotee. Because, we see, Bhagavad Gita also it is said, Vidya, one who has real apara vidya, Vidya vinaya sampanne, he will have humility. Otherwise, he doesn't have vidya. Vidya vinaya sampanne, vinaya means humility. Doesn't want to be recognized, remain in the background, remain unknown. That is vidya. So, coming back to Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu was sitting there with his students on the banks of the Ganges in the evening, and Keshav Kashmiri comes. Mahaprabhu gives him a seat. He offers him a seat and says, please, tell us something about the glories of the Ganges, Mother Ganges. And Keshav Kashmiri, being very proud of the learning he had, immediately composed 100 verses. He composed 100 verses extempore. You understand extempore means on the spot, without preparation. 100 verses of glorification. Mahaprabhu simply said, speak a few words, but he composed 100 verses. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says, his composition and the pace at which he spoke those verses was like a cyclone. Cyclonic delivery of verses. All composed by him. In perfect meter and perfect grammar. And when he paused, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked up one verse. Gangayaha Mahatvam. And he said, this verse, can you please elaborate on this verse? Keshav Kashmiri was shocked. You see, generally, if you debate from scriptures, it is possible that the opponent may have kanthastha, which means at the tip of his tongue or in his throat, you know, the entire scripture. Because the verses are known. So if somebody debates on Bhagavad Gita, the other person may remember the entire Bhagavad Gita. So it is easy for that person to quote a verse from here or there. But in case of Keshav Kashmiri and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these were Keshav Kashmiri's own composition and spoken like a cyclone. So first Keshav Kashmiri was shocked. How could you so perfectly remember one of these 100 verses? Because this is my own composition. You couldn't possibly have heard this anywhere. He was really surprised. And Mahaprabhu said, the same Lord who has given you the mercy by which you can compose these verses, the same Lord has given me His mercy that I can remember everything at once. And Keshav Kashmiri immediately understood this is an extraordinary person. But he could still not fathom who Mahaprabhu was. So that time, Mahaprabhu said, now please elaborate. And Keshav Kashmiri said, oh, what is there to elaborate? This verse I composed is perfect in every respect. And Mahaprabhu said, if I may, let me point out 5 faults in this verse and 5 glories, gunas also. And Mahaprabhu then pointed out the 5 faults and the 5 gunas. Future verses, these are dealt with, so I don't want to deal with them now. And at the end of that, Keshav Kashmiri, actually Chaitanya Bhagavat says, he went away. At night he meditated on Saraswati Devi and he prayed to Saraswati, how is it possible that I could be defeated by anyone? And meditating on Saraswati, he fell asleep. And in the dream, Saraswati Devi came and said, you fool, you're trying to debate with my master. How shall it be possible for an ordinary person like you? In fact, even I cannot fully glorify my master. So in the scriptures, in Mahabharata and other places, we see when glorification of the Lord is concerned, there are many comparisons, but the 2 most beautiful comparisons are that even Lord Anantadev, Shesha, with his innumerable mouths, cannot fully glorify the Lord. And the other comparison is, even Mother Saraswati herself cannot fully glorify the Lord. So these are the, so this is what Mother Saraswati tells him. And he realizes his mistake. And of course he surrenders to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu sends him forth and he then accepts the Nimbarka Sampradaya, one of the 4 bona fide Sampradayas. They propagate Dvaita Advaita philosophy. And Nimbarkacharya had written Vedanta Parijata Saurabha Vyakhya on Vedanta Sutra. On his Vyakhya, Srinivasacharya, his direct disciple, had commented Vedanta Kaustubha. And Keshav Kashmiri, who is about 29th from Srinivasacharya, he commented on the Vedanta Kaustubha Prabha. And he has also written a very important book called Kramadipika. And we find in Hari Bhakti Vilas, Jiva Goswami's, Rupan Sanatana and Gopala Bhatta Goswami's have referred to Kramadipika. So they glorified him when he became a Vaishnava. But this is the episode of Mahaprabhu's Tabeto Korilo Prabhu Digvijayi Jaya. This is how Digvijayi was won over. So then the question arises, Keshav Kashmiri was a great scholar. He knew all the scriptures, but still he was so proud. How is that possible? Question to everyone. How is that possible? How is it possible that he was so proud? He wasn't surrendered to Krishna. But what brings pride? So Kunti Devi, in first canto, in a prayers, chapter 8, verse 26, Kunti Maharani says, Janmaishwarya Shruta Shribhir एधमानं मदपुमान नैवार्ती अभिधातुं वै त्वाम अकिंचन गोचरान. This is a very beautiful verse. जन्म ऐश्वर्य श्रुत एंड श्री. कुंती महारानी says these four things. जन्म means birth in a respectable society. Aishwarya, having wealth and opulence or a position, is also Aishwarya. Shruta, being extremely learned. And Shri means being beautiful, attractive. These, one who possesses these, edhamana madaha puman, immediately his madaha, his illusion increases. If one is born in a janma, if somebody has a high janma, I am born in a brahmana family, I am born in a Vaishnava family. Actually janma also means, there are three janmas, right? Three dikshas. So janma also means initiation. Some people in so many traditional Vaishnava sampradayas, they just sit in the front row because they have taken initiation from a certain sannyasi. That is also janma. I am a disciple, I am a senior disciple of such and such personality. Janma, this brings mother, Kunti Maharani says. Aishwarya on a subtle level, opulence. Actually, one place Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that even amongst devotees, if a devotee is given a particular service, I am going to be on the altar. So I am, special because I am on the altar. I am cooking Rajbhog, I am special. I am in charge of all this arrangement. I am in charge of this volunteers. I am in charge of this kitchen. I am in charge of this Janmashtami. I am the president. I am the GBC. All this. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said that when one takes a position, with the position comes the Aishwarya. And if one doesn't know how to handle it, one becomes proud and falls down or drifts away. So, janma, aishwarya, shruta, learned. Just see, I speak so wonderfully. One becomes proud. I know so much. Everyone takes consultation from me. This increases. Edhamana madaha puman. And Shri, beautiful, in a subtle form means one who is leading, one who is at the forefront. If a beautiful person walks past, generally everyone is turning around and looking at the person. So even somebody is in the kirtan and coming at the forefront, pride will increase. These are not my words. Kunti Maharani has said. And what happens if such pride increases? A person who is proud cannot even address the Lord in a loving manner. Na eva arhati abhidhatum vai. Abhidhatum means to address. In fact, Sridhar Swami in his commentary says, abhidhatum Shri Krishna Govinda iti vaktum api na eva arhati. He is not even able to say, O my Lord Krishna, O Govinda, please be merciful on me. He is not able to say that feelingly. And Prabhupada in his translation, he says, such a person is not even able to speak feelingly, with sincere feelings. But then who is able to approach the Lord? Tvam akinchana gocharam. Akinchana gochara. Kinchana means something. Akinchana means nothing. The Lord becomes available to one who possesses nothing. So as long as we remain engaged in service, but remain a nobody, everyone wants to become somebody. But if we remain a nobody, then we can approach the Lord, and the Lord hears our prayers. This is the secret that Kunti Maharani shares. Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shribhir. Shruta means Vidya. And Keshav Kashmiri had developed mother, pride, because of his Shruta, because of his Vidya. So, Srila Prabhupada was once in Nairobi, and he was going around with Amrish Maharaj, Amrish Prabhu, whom he would call lovingly as Amrish Maharaj. So, Amrish Prabhu and Prabhupada and a few other brahmacharis, they were going around in Nairobi, and they were passing through different neighborhoods, trying to show Prabhupada around to get his view on what will be a good neighborhood to buy a plot for the temple, to establish a temple. And as they were going around, one of the brahmacharis said, Srila Prabhupada, this is a very respectable neighborhood. And Amrish Prabhu was sitting next to Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada looked around and he immediately said, respectable means not Krishna conscious. And Amrish Prabhu says, I never forgot that. I've always remembered those words. And those words are from Kunti Maharani. She says, one has too much man, pride, respect. One cannot accept Krishna consciousness. Because they cannot take shelter of Krishna, because they have already taken shelter of Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shri. Even Jesus Christ says in the Bible, you cannot serve two masters. You can only serve one master. So if I'm serving the fact that I'm born in a high Janma, I have Aishwarya, I have Shruta and Shri, I cannot serve the other master who is the real master, the Supreme Lord. Does that mean that one has to be completely bereft of all Janma, Aishwarya, Vidya and Shri? If one is God Vidya, one should give it up. One is born in a high family, one should give the family up or something. Does that mean this is what one should do? Yes? No? So what is the real meaning? To be humble in that position. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, is an extremely beautiful verse which completely opens up the secret. And this verse is, one should remember this verse. 4th canto, 3rd chapter, verse number 17. It is said, 6 things. Vidya, tapo, vitta, vapur, vayakkulai. These 6 things. Vidya, if one has knowledge. Tapaha, if one is able to do tapasya. Vitta, one has wealth. Vapuhu, one has a body which is very beautiful. Vayaha, if one is youthful, young or energetic. And kulaha. Kulaha means one is born in a respectable family, or one is connected with a respectable family. These 6 things, satam gunai shadbihi, these 6 shadbihi, satam gunai, these 6 things are good qualities. When they are connected with a satam, sata means a devotee. So a devotee, having these 6, shines. But, asattam etaraha,
asattam itarai. It has the opposite effect
when these are connected with asattama. When a person who is not Krishna conscious is connected with these six, vidya, tapa, vitta, vapu, vaya and kula, then it is no longer a guna, it is a dosha. Your guna converts into dosha. The glorious qualities convert into faults.
And as a result of that, smrutau hatayam, he forgets. Such a person who becomes proud because of his vidya, tapa, vitta, vapu, vai and kula, he forgets good sense. Srila Prabhupada says, he forgets what is good sense. And Vamshidhara in his commentary, he says, kim kartavyam, kim akartavyam, what is to be done, what is not to be done, he forgets the sense of that. Bhrutamana durdrishaha. Bhruta, increasing mana. Mana means his pride ever increases. As a result, durdrishaha, he is not able to see things as they are. This is the situation of one who is asattama. These qualities are no good for him. So how does he act? Stabdha na pasyanti hi dhama bhuyasam. Stabdha. Stabdha means he becomes anamraha. He becomes not humble. He cannot remain humble. One cannot have humility if one takes pride in one's vidya, tapa, so in one's knowledge, austerity, wealth, body, youthfulness or energetic body, and birth, high birth. One cannot, in that matter, surrender to the Lord. And na pasyanti hi dhama bhuyasam, and they cannot see the greatness of the devotees. We see this, so many examples are there. But before I go to the examples, the question comes to mind, how can guna be converted into dosha? Vidya is a great guna. Having knowledge of the scriptures is a great guna. So, Sridhar Swami says, satam gunair viveka hetu bihi. When these gunas are applied to a devotee, he becomes viveki. He says, oh, if he acts improperly, he says, oh, I know so much, why do I act like this? His vidya helps him. His tapasya is done for the service of the Lord. His wealth, he thinks, I have so much wealth, riches, it is only the mercy of the Lord. You know how a devotee thinks, who is wealthy. He thinks, let me give to the Lord. Let me give in the service of the devotees of the Lord. If I am to be plundered, and everyone gets plundered, Bhagavatam says that even children and wife or husbands are plunderers, because they plunder your wealth. But they are just legalized plunderers. Yeah? So, these are not my words, Bhagavatam says. So, the devotee thinks, I am going to be plundered anyway. People are going to take, the taxman is going to take my wealth, everyone is going to plunder my wealth. Let me pray that I be plundered by the devotees of the Lord. Let them steal away all my wealth. Then he does not develop pride, he becomes close to Krishna. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Chidadai festival, such a wealthy person, cartload of gold coins, cartloads, gave away for the service of the Lord. Body, one who has a beautiful body, if he is not surrendered to the Lord, he thinks, oh, just see, I am the center of attraction. And is every time very careful about. There is a story in Vraja that one old lady was there, very old. She had a hut and simple living, but she had from her mother-in-law passed on 2 gold bangles. So she would very proudly wear those bangles and she wanted everyone to notice those bangles. But nobody would notice bangles on the hands of an old lady who was living in a hut and very simple, working on the farm. So she planned one thing one day. Just when all the men had come in the afternoon, they had come home for lunch, and the village was full of people, she went inside the hut and she took some firewood and she set the hut on fire. And her hut was on fire. The only other possession she had was a hut, which was on fire. And she came out crying, help, help. And everyone came. And as everyone was coming, she was saying, please, throw some water there. She was clicking her bangles, just so that everyone will notice her bangles. Some water there, please. There, there. Look, that it is burning there. This is the situation of one who is proud. Proud of, just see, everyone should see, I'm special. Because I am worshipping on the altar. I'm a Brahmana. I'm a Vaishnava. I'm a learned person. I'm beautiful. I'm youthful. Ah, old people. You're just old. This verse is very instructive. And Vamshidhara says, this is our situation. The entire life we want to live to show to others. But actually, the secret is, Krishna consciousness is not to show to others. Krishna consciousness is for our own consciousness, for our own connection with the Lord. So, when one has pride, one does everything as a performance. You know, like on a stage, they do performance. It's a performance. How I dress, how I speak, what I do, everything is a performance. But the Lord is not interested in the performance. He is interested in what you really are. So let us not perform. Let us practice devotional service. And how can a guna turn into a dosha? Vamshidhara, in his commentary, he's commented on Sridhar Swami's commentary. He says it, and actually Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also says in his commentary, very sweet words, he says, how can a guna turn into dosha? Milk is very, very pure. But when the milk enters the mouth of a snake, although milk has guna, good qualities, when it enters the mouth of a snake, it loses all good qualities. So Vidya, Vapu, Shri, all this, when associated with Asattama, it loses its good qualities. And Vamshidhar says, but the opposite is also true. Even salt water from the sea, when it is evaporated and absorbed by the clouds, it becomes sweet. That is, even a so-called fault of a devotee becomes his great quality. But a great quality of one who is not a devotee becomes puffed up is simply a fault. And Srila Prabhupada says, hence Kunti Maharani prays, keep me away from these, because Srila Prabhupada says it is not easy for devotees to handle this. It's not easy even for somebody like Keshava Kashmiri. Now I'll tell you a secret. Keshav Kashmiri, before he became proud, was already a Vaishnava in Nimbarka Sampradaya. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his Amrit Prabha Bhashya says he was already a devotee. But he lost his good sense because of his knowledge. So when we are in a position of power, some kind of opulence, one has to guard very closely. Let nobody know, let nobody glorify me. We should not be like that old lady. We have one set of bangles. We burn our own hut just so that everyone will notice. So this, Vishwanatha Thakur, he is giving us the Siddhanta. He says, sthana eva guna gunayante iti bhavaha. It is only the possessor of the quality that defines whether it remains a quality or it becomes a fault. It is the possessor. And there are so many examples, perhaps not too much time for those examples. But just skimming through them very quickly, I thought I might elaborate, but Vidya, can you think of an example of somebody who had so much Vidya but misused? Ravana. Ravana was the son of Vishravas. His father was a great scholar, and Ravana was a Brahmana. He was a Brahmana. But what did he do? He used his Vidya. So when Vidya is there with someone who has pride, that Vidya simply becomes the cause of his own downfall. Tapasya. So Ravana is mentioned in 9th canto, chapter 10. You should read about Ravana. Tapasya. There was a great king called Nahusha who did tapasya, 100 Ashwamedha Yajna, to become Indra. And after doing the tapasya and becoming Indra, the real Indra was hiding somewhere because he had killed Vritrasura. He was hiding in Manasarovar in a lotus stem. This Nahusha became Indra instead. And instead of holding the position as Indra, he became attracted to the wife of Indra, Shachi, and he wanted to marry her. So Nahusha, his pastime is mentioned very briefly in 6th canto, chapter 13. His tapasya misapplied, he had his downfall. Vitta, wealth. Misapplication of wealth. We see Vena, King Vena, 4th canto, chapter 13 and 14. King Vena was the son of Maharaj Anga. He was born of churning of his arms, and he became a miscreant. Vapuhu, body, pride in the body. There was a great king by the name Kartavirya Arjuna, or Hayahaya, another name. He is mentioned in, again, 9th canto, chapter 15. He was disciple of Dattatreya. In fact, so powerful was his body, he had 1,000 arms. Nobody could defeat him. But what did he fall for? He fell for the desire-fulfilling cow of Jamadagni. And he tried to steal her. This cow was Sushila, the sister of Surabhi. And he tried to steal her. And as a result, Parshuram killed him and then killed all the Kshatriyas, wiped off from the face of the planet. Yeah? So, body, misuse of body. Vayaha. Vayaha means beauty. It is said Banasur was extremely beautiful. Who was Banasura's daughter? Usha. Usha was also extremely beautiful, and she wanted to marry Aniruddha, and Aniruddha was captured. And we know how Banasura, he tells Lord Shiva, I'm always desirous, I'm so beautiful and so, you know, strong as well. I'm always desirous to fight. So let me fight Krishna. And finally, Kula, being born in a great family. One demon who was born in a very great family, Narakasura. Who is Narakasura's father? Who is Narakasura's mother? Narakasura's mother is Bhumi Devi. Father is Varahadev. Varahadev, the Lord himself. Father, what better birth can you expect? Varahadev, when he uplifted Bhumi Devi, through the contact of Varahadev, Bhumi Devi gave birth to Narakasura. We see in 10th canto, chapter 59, Narakasura is mentioned. And it is that Narakasura who captured 16,100 princesses and who fought Krishna. But we equally see, when these qualities were possessed by great devotees, these qualities actually were utilized in the service of the Lord. For example, Vidya, knowledge. We see Narada Muni. Srila Prabhupada says he received his training from the Bhakti Vedantas while he was a Dasi Putra, a son of a maidservant. He received his training from the Bhakti Vedantas, and he became extremely knowledgeable. We see this first canto, chapter 4. He didn't take pride in knowledge. Tapasya. Who performed extraordinary tapasya? Dhruva Maharaj. Hiranyakashipu is a negative example. The positive example of a devotee who performed tapasya but wasn't proud of his tapasya. Actually, the most difficult tapasya in the Bhagavatam was performed by the 10 prachetas. For 10,000 years, they sat inside the ocean, meditating on the Rudra Gita, 4th canto, we see that, chapter 30 and 31. And they attained the lotus feet of the Lord. With the wealth, who was extremely wealthy, one personality in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, no comparison to his wealth, great devotee, Ambarish Maharaj. In fact, it is said he was so engrossed in the service of the Lord that his throne would be empty, fearing that his throne is empty, and as a result, the plunderers and the miscreants may create a havoc. The Lord put his assistant to substitute Ambarish Maharaj while Ambarish Maharaj was busy serving the Lord. Who was that substitute? Anyone knows? Whom did Krishna substitute? Krishna personally asked Sudarshan Chakra to assume the position, the seat of the king of Ambarish Maharaj. Can you imagine? If Sudarshan Chakra is the king, now who dares to come forward? So Ambarish Maharaj is busy doing Navada Bhakti. Bhagavan says, don't worry, my Sudarshan is there becoming the king, taking your position. So Ambarish Maharaj was extremely wealthy. All his wealth was utilized in the service of the Lord. Body, Vapu, a beautiful body. Who has the most beautiful body in Bhagavatam and became a great devotee? It is said that the apsaras in Indraloka, simply by hearing the description of his body, would faint. Now, just to give you an idea, the apsaras in Indraloka, their beauty is compared like this. The most beautiful women on earth, you know, I don't know how we qualify that, but like maybe they say Miss Universe or some Miss World or something. This most beautiful, say some Miss World or Miss Universe is standing. In Indraloka's comparison, she may just about touch the beauty of the most beautiful female horse in Indraloka. The most beautiful female horse may just come little bit, you know, is just similar, little bit similar to the Miss Universe on earth. So think of the Apsaras. They are how beautiful now. Nobody is attracted to a horse. But Apsaras are so beautiful, you can imagine. Now these Apsaras, when they would hear about this personality, this great devotee, simply by hearing about his beauty, they would faint. He was that beautiful. And the most wonderful description of his beauty are mentioned in Bhagavatam. This is Prithu Maharaj. But he used, although he was the most beautiful, he was the... So we see in 4th canto, chapter 14, Vayaha, youth, young age. In fact, the one example of youth or young age, or in fact right from the womb, in Kayadu's womb, Prahlad Maharaj, 7th canto, chapter 7, he practiced, by the mercy of Narad Muni, he practiced devotional service. And finally, being born in a great family, Parikshit Maharaj, 1st canto, chapter 12, what comparison can there be to Parikshit Maharaj? Being born of great personalities, forefathers like the Pandavas, uncles like Krishna, yes, they are related, through Kunti Maharani. So, but a great devotee. So we see that finally, just to close off, one question might arise, and I'll treat this very quickly. How is Saraswati Devi blessing with Vidya these people who are either demoniac or who are not devotees or who are proud? Saraswati Devi continues to bless them. How is that possible? First of all, who is Saraswati Devi? Huh? Sorry? Consort of Lord Brahma, yes. Any other Saraswati we know? Huh? Mother, sorry? Shiva and Parvati's daughter. Yes, in Shiva Puran that is also mentioned. So that is one Saraswati. Brahma's wife is second Saraswati. There is a third Saraswati. Yes. Brahma Samhita, fifth canto, fifth chapter, verse 24, I think. Verse 24, yes. It says how Saraswati Devi gave the Klim Krishnaya mantra to Brahma. So one may wonder, but Saraswati is born of Brahma, so how could she give? Because that is not the Saraswati wife of Brahma. That is not Saraswati, the daughter of Shiva and Parvati. That Saraswati is the eternal consort of Lord Krishna. In fact, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his Amrit Pravaha Bhashya, he says, Saraswati, there are two Saraswatis. There are Saraswati of the material world, she is Dushta, he says. She is Dushta Saraswati. And the Saraswati in the spiritual world is Vishuddha Saraswati. The Saraswati of the spiritual world is the Saraswati that is invoked when one study Srimad Bhagavatam. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. That Saraswati is not the mundane goddess of learning. In fact, Brahmand Puran says, Saibhya Saraswati. The gopi Saibhya expands as Saraswati in spiritual world. In Skanda Puran, the evidence is given how Saraswati is Divya, is always sitting on the chest of the Lord. So that Saraswati is the mother Saraswati of the spiritual world, different from the Saraswati in the material world, the goddess of learning. So, and when mother Saraswati is acting on the demons or non-devotees, or those who want to do bad to the devotees, she acts in a way that she inhibits the intentions or the evil intentions of these demoniac personalities. She does it in four ways. I'll give you a quick example before finishing. She does it in four ways. And these are very nice examples. First, Saraswati Devi, when she sits on the tongue of a demon, a demoniac personality, she may change the words completely. We see in Uttarakhand, we take an example from Ramayana. In Uttarakhand, Ramayana, we see that Kumbhakarna, he wants to get rid of all the demigods, so he is worshipping Brahmaji. The devatas become very fearful and they tell Brahma, can you please make sure that Saraswati sits on the tongue of Kumbhakarna in such a way that he is not able to ask for the right boon. So Kumbhakarna is ready to ask what? He says, he has thought, Nirdevatvam ichhami, Nirdevatvam. Let the world be rid of all devas. All the demigods be vanquished. This is what he wants to ask Brahma. Nirdevatvam ichhami. But instead of that, Saraswati just at that point sits on the tongue of Brahma. Tongue of Kumbhakarna. And when Brahmaji is ask for a boon, he says, Nidravatvam ichhami. Instead of Nirdevatvam, he says, Nidravatvam. Nidravatvam means, I pray that I may always sleep. He's sleeping. So Saraswati, Mother Saraswati is changing. Similarly, in Bhagavatam 6th canto, we see Tvashta, who is the father of Vishwarupa, who was killed by Indra, becomes very upset and angry, and he wants to create a son who will become enemy of Indra. 6th canto, we see that Tvashta. And who is that son? Vritrasura. But when he invokes the fire, Tvashta says, what does he say? Indra Shatro Vivardhasva. But you see, when you say that with the emphasis on the first vowel, Indra Shatro Vivardhasva, Indra Shatro, then it means, let a son be born who is killed by Indra. But if you say Indra Shatro Vivardhasva, when the syllable, the final vowel is emphasized, is accentuated, then it means let a son be born who will be a killer of Indra. So when Tvashta is doing his homa, he says Indra Shatro Vivardhasva, because of his emphasis on Indra Shatro, just the accent is changed. Vritrasura is born who is killed by Indra. So again Saraswati Devi sits. So Saraswati changes the whole word, or she changes the accent, or she makes the person speak unintentionally. So for example, let's take example from Bhagavad Gita. Duryodhana, he is introducing his army, first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. While introducing his army, he says, look at all these bahavaha surah. There are many, many great personalities gathered here on the battlefield on my side. And then he says, madarthe tyakta jivitah. They are ready to give up their life for me. Another meaning is, they will all die for me. Saraswati Devi said, and Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he specifically says, by Duryodhana's words, Saraswati had sat and, they all died. Again, another place he says, aparyaptam tu asmakam. Our army is aparyaptam. Aparyaptam means two meanings. One is immeasurable. Another meaning is incomplete. Not enough. So Duryodhan's words. And finally, Saraswati Devi changes the words, the meaning of the words. So when Jarasandha in 10th canto, I think chapter 50, is it? 10th canto, Jarasandha, he tells Krishna, oh, I don't want to fight with you. Why? Nayotsyeham, I will not fight with you. Nayotsyeham, Bandhuhan. Bandhuhan, you are the killer of your own family members. You killed your own uncle, Kamsa. You are such a low-class person. See, can you imagine in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is fully a glorification of Krishna, can there be any word which accuses Krishna or doesn't glorify Krishna? There cannot be. So Sridhar Swami in his commentary, he says, here, when he is referred to as Bandhuhan, Bandhu generally means family. Han means Hanta, killer. Here the meaning is not that. The meaning is, Sridhar Swami says, Bandhu means Bad Dhatu, from the word root Bad. Bad Bandhanav means Bad Bandhane, means Bandhuhan means killing or destroying that which binds. What binds? The ignorance in this world binds. So actually Sridhar Swami says, even though Jarasandha is saying Bandhuhan, the real meaning is Krishna is Bandhuhan because he destroys the ignorance of the world. So this way Saraswati Devi changes. But as long as we are devotees of the Lord and we sincerely serve the Lord, there is a hope that we may be able to see the Lord face to face. So it is only through Mahaprabhu's mercy that we can have the various qualities and not be puffed up. But without his mercy, we could become puffed up and not even, as Kunti Maharani says, not even address the Lord lovingly. So we shall pray. The conclusion is that we should pray to Mahaprabhu to ensure that we never become puffed up like Keshav Kashmiri, no matter what little quality we may have. Okay. Should I take one or two questions? One question, yeah.